Writing for The Atlantic, Julie Beck talks about an emerging YouTube-specific way of speaking that many of the top YouTube personalities have started affecting. After noticing the trend, she interviewed American University linguistics professor Naomi Barron to find out what's going on. Julie Beck joins us now. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Now, many of the characteristics of YouTube talk revolve around a hyper-emphasis on vowels. Can you talk about what Barron told you about vowel emphasis on YouTube?
Yeah, so I am not a linguist at all, so I had to, call one up and see what was actually happening. And it is a lot of strategies just to emphasize words, generally speaking. Some of that does involve vowels, either extending vowels out or a lot of times the vowels are not pronounced when we say certain words. There's a sort of general vowel that's a neutral vowel called a schwa, and it just kind of sounds like "uh." And you say that a lot in words where you're not putting any emphasis on the vowels. And so you can also choose to emphasize ones that you normally don't. The example she gave was exactly. So when I just said exactly, you can't really hear the E that well. But if you say exactly, then you can hear it. And so people will do that as well. You may also insert a vowel in between a couple of consonants just to also emphasize the word. I think the example was trapping. So you would say trapping. But again, I'm sort of overdoing it right now just so you can hear what I'm talking about. It's a lot more subtle sometimes in the videos.
So Julie, this is so fascinating. I love this kind of linguistics nerdiness. And is there anything else? There are the overemphasized vowels or emphasized vowels anyway. We don't want to judge. But are there any other characteristics of YouTube talk?
Yeah, so there's also, it's consonants too. People will stretch out the consonants much in the way that they do the vowels, particularly when they're at the beginning of a word. So you might say like fascinating instead of fascinating. And again, I'm like overdoing it just to show you. And then the other aspect that she mentioned to me was something called aspiration, which is on certain vowels or certain consonants, specifically K, P, and T. I don't know if you could hear it when I just said them, but you tend to have a little puff of air come out of your mouth when you say them just generally. So if you say keep, for example, there's a little puff of air that happens. And people may overdo that too as another way of emphasizing words. So you'd say keep instead of keep. It depends. It varies on different, videos or between different people, how much they are doing each of these things. But these are the different elements that you may see just as a way of emphasizing certain words.
Now, you linked to a few examples. Let's go ahead and listen to a couple of those. Go ahead, Jason.
In the absence of authority, we have to justify the conclusions of our theorizing somehow, and we do that by manufacturing and then defending coherence, much like what we talked about in the Pics or It Didn't Happen episode.
All right, let's go to the next example. This guy's generally a good example, but here we go.
One language that I am most fluent in, it would have to be emoji. And if you don't use emojis, you are missing out in life. I don't know who you are. I don't know what your life goal is. But girl, get with the times because I only speak emoji.
Okay, now this guy is a great example of what you're talking about, Julie, because everything about his speech is overly emphasized. Everything about his appearance, his mannerisms, gestures. Now, you talked about facial expressions and hand gestures and other nonverbal cues that are also exaggerated, right?
Yeah, and actually playing that Tyler Oakley video, you've reminded me that another characteristic of it is sort of speeding up and slowing down the pace of your speech as you're going along. And that's another way of keeping people interested because, like, as you can see, he's just sitting in front of the camera talking. There's not really a ton of action happening. He's not acting. He's just talking as himself. And so I think a lot of the ways a lot of the aspects of this are just ways to keep people interested. You move your face a lot, you move your hands a lot, you speed up, you slow down, you emphasize certain words, and that makes it more engaging when you're not really doing anything besides just talking into the camera.
So, Julie, how different is this from the way people would speak, say, in a theater setting or in any other dramatic setting? Is there something that's different in YouTube land from the rest of the performance world? And is there a formal name for what's going on here?
No, I don't think so. So I think that these are a lot of techniques that you use even just in regular speech. If you're talking to your friends and you're trying to tell a really engaging story, you might use a lot of these same tactics. I don't know specifically if this happens in theater or not. I would suspect that some of it probably does. And when I was talking to Naomi Barron, who's the linguist from American University, she mentioned that she sees these things a lot in the sort of like infotainment news shows, like Jon Stewart on The Daily Show does a lot of these things too. And it's because you're sort of presenting information, but you're trying to do it in an engaging way. I think this is just something that I noticed happening a lot on YouTube when in certain kinds of videos where people are narrating to the camera. And so I think that they maybe just picked up on things, strategies that exist in other, like you said, like performative ways of talking, and have just adopted them a lot.
And I would even go so far as to say that there's a kind of Darwinian culling process where those vloggers on YouTube who've learned to speak in a way that is very engaging and, you know, for people with short attention spans or whatever, who are always dealing with people who are just a click away to something else, have risen to the top and have become prominent. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of very monotone vloggers on YouTube that we've never heard of because they are monotone and they fail to keep everybody's attention. Very, very interesting. It also reminds me of the sort of in the movie business in the 30s, I guess, in the 40s or whatever, they had this old-timey, like, language or accent or something that emerged or was required. I guess they had to learn it for the movies. It was sort of like, sort of British, sort of American. And so I guess YouTube, to a certain extent, kind of sort of has its own linguistic style. Julie Beck is at theatlantic.com and on Twitter at Julie E. Beck. Julie, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, bye-bye.